going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio. Sal Capaccio.
On WGR.
Second and perhaps final appearance for the day by our own Sal Capaccio, who joins us now from a different location. He's out at the stadium, joins us on the Wester hotline. Sal, I think you told us yesterday, or at least recently, that tonight is the busiest night of the year in that media room. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. It's already pretty filled up because here's why. You have all of the TV stations, local TV stations, who go live at 6 and what if they do another show at 7 or whatever, but and then later on at 11, and then again when the Bills pick. So everybody gets down here a little bit early, the TV equipment set up. And then, of course, you have the beat writers and reporters who fill up like normal. Sometimes you'll get a national person here. Not today. I don't see anybody here tonight. Nationally, if the Bills are picking higher, that could definitely happen. It has in the past. It's already filled up, filling up. And so much to the point where I think I told you guys earlier, I'm not sure, I actually asked Andy Young. No, I said this on my show earlier. Andy Young, who works for Spectrum News One, he actually kind of sits next to me. We don't have assigned seats, but everybody kind of gets the same seat a lot, right? And he usually sits right next to me. I'm between him and Josh Reed. And I asked Andy earlier today, I said, when are you going down? He said, I'll be there around 2-3 o'clock. I said, please save my seat. Because I have been down here before where it fills up so quickly that you can't even get a seat. And then you're scrambling all night, basically.
All right. Well, we're that close to this thing. Is anything new?
Yes.
Is anything new since 3 o'clock? There's a one thing that might be is there's a Todd McShay comment.
I tweeted a little bit ago that he's hearing about a couple of different trade ideas, and I already forgot what the first one was, but the second one is more pertinent to us because we've talked about a team like the Giants moving up late in the first round to get a quarterback, and he says they're actively trying to make that happen. I would imagine that means like kind of laying the groundwork. I don't think it was something that would happen before you get to when that team is on the clock that you're targeting if you're the Giants, but that they like Dart, Jackson Dart.
Yeah, and I can see that. Did you guys see the thing with Joe Shane's kid? What happened?
Yes.
Did you read about that?
Yeah, he went on social media with a video of Dart and then deleted it. Or made his account private.
Mm-hmm.
This was yesterday.
And almost like...
Is this the kid that...
Yeah, like
is
he
this
was,
the kid when from Hard Knocks when Shane asked him, who would you pick? And he said, Jaden Daniels?
Yes.
On Hard Knocks?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And, yep. And he,
tough
that's exactly
one.
What Mike said is right. That's what he did. And there's a theory that he was preparing to, you know, have that ready to go. And he put it out there publicly unintentionally.
Oh, no.
So obviously, you know, the Giants could very well be looking to do that. So I say, if that is the case, and I didn't hear you, Mike, did you say that if they have a target of where they would go? Because I do think the Bills at 30 could be a spot for a team like that. I've believed that the Bills at 30 could be a team, could be a spot for a team like the Giants or the Browns if they want to climb back in the first round and get a quarterback.
How old is the son, by the way? Is he an adult?
No, he was like a teenager.
He is a teenager. And wait, hold on. He is now in high school, I believe. In fact, to be honest with you, I think his son plays football at Don Bosco Prep down there, which is a really good football program.
Okay. They couldn't have picked Daniels anyway, I guess. But
no, right. But
it's
right.
Funny.
Yeah.
Well, let me try this on. We've talked about everything. The trade down idea that you just got into there. Trading up, that's been some speculation today, too. The Steelers, maybe. Minnesota would maybe make sense if the Bills were so inclined. Who are the players, in your opinion, Sal? Maybe we can just sort of all work this out. Who are the players where, in terms of trading down at 30, the Bills would say no? Would they be like, no, there's somebody here we like? I mean, there are some maybe obvious ones that are guys who would likely go much earlier. How many guys can we name that we think they would turn down such a trade offer?
Hmm. If they were sitting at 30, how many guys would they name they would turn down?
Could we name? Yeah, that they were available.
Could we name?
Right, right.
Okay, let's say, I would say realistic, right? I mean, you're not talking about guys who are going to go in the top 10 that we're pretty sure they're going to go in the top 10, right?
Right.
So I would think Kenneth Grant might be on that list.
Mm-hmm.
I would think Derek Harmon might be on that list. I would think that Will Johnson might be on that list. One of the corners, the top corners, I would say, right? Like Barron, Will Johnson. I think probably you're probably looking at three corners on that list. You're probably looking at two or three defensive tackles there.
Grant and your guy from Ohio State, or no?
No, I don't know. I think they could very well like trade. If Tyleek Williams is there, I think you could still maybe think you could get him, you know, 20 picks later. Who knows?
And
based on, you know, I don't think they want him. Like, I don't think they like covet him. He's a name, though, that I think would very well fit for them.
And these trades that we're talking about with the Browns or the Giants, where those teams move up for a quarterback, are only three or four picks away. So your bet would be.
Yes.
I think Grant makes sense if he falls to 30, because you might think he doesn't fall to 34.
Right.
That's what you're trying to figure out here.
Yeah, because I feel like he is, for me, Sal, I feel like he's the last guy that, and I don't know, maybe it's a sloppy way of putting it, but like that might be able to ascend to being more than just the space eater guy, right? And that to me is worth a 30th pick overall, even if he's just in a rotation with Daquan Jones for the time being, because it's someone who I think at 21 with the big body he has might be able to like ascend to being more than just that, right? Like we were talking earlier, if all I want is a big guy to tie up blockers, I don't think I want to spend 30 on that. But if there's more upside there, if he's someone that can penetrate and be, you know, somewhat of a hellraiser in the backfield eventually, and I think Grant, he reads like that to me, then that's a guy that I'd have a hard time seeing them pass on. In fact, we were talking about trade up ideas. Minnesota's only got four picks there at 24. That's not cost prohibitive. If Grant even gets to there, I could see them making a move. If they, you know, if he checks all the boxes for them, Bill's DNA and all that stuff. Like, because I feel like after him, there's not another dude that is as well rounded as he could be potentially.
Yeah, so I think I would have reason to believe they like Kenneth Grant. I mean, but again, how what's the realistic chance he's where you're going to be picking? And then the question comes, could you even move up to get a guy like that if you like him that much? Would you go to 20? Would you go to 25? Those are jumps, right? I mean, once you get to 25, it's a little more doable. Five spots, team drops down, they might be willing to do that. I think that is very plausible. That is a player I think that's been linked to them by a lot of people. When I get asked, and obviously I'm sure you guys do, but I get asked by a lot of people around the country because they're doing their own mocks, right? People, national people, and local media. They'll call me, they'll text me. Hey, I'm trying to do my mock. What are you hearing? What do you think? We'll walk through it. And then I get, this is one thing I've gotten a lot of. Well, I've heard the Bills are linked to Kenneth Grant. Like, I've heard that a lot from those people, right? I'm not telling you I've heard it. I'm saying that people have told me they've heard it, and I don't know if that's just them reading things or if they're doing their work on it and getting that information somehow. So that's how I kind of sort through all of this and figure that out. Now, that being said, I still think that there's a spot here we haven't talked a lot about that's possible, and that's edge, right? If there's a guy that fits the edge and it's a player that they like, I don't think that they would shy away from it. I mean, they still need to get to the passer, and I think they want to do that. So I think that's got to be something in play. And then I think I brought up the name of you guys earlier, too. Maybe not tonight. Maybe it's second round. But I think Darius Alexander fits the Bills, too, from Toledo. He's a guy that really is athletic. He can move around a little bit. He's over 300 pounds, not much over. A little bit more undersized. But I do think he can play both the one and the three, mostly the three. But he can do that as well.
Sal Capaccio with us. 6:15. Draft gets going round one at 8 tonight with Tennessee. Almost definitely picking Cam Ward, the Miami quarterback. What are your latest thoughts on the trade-up option then? We've talked about the trade-down idea. 21, well, is Grant also somebody they would move up for? And I guess in terms of cornerback, you know, they'd have to probably see a tier break between some of these guys to want to move up, but they've done it before.
That's the way I look at it. To me, I don't know if you would covet one of these DTs enough to go up like that, but I could see it with a corner because of what you just said, Mike, which is maybe there's a tier break, right? Which is, okay, if we don't get one of these three guys, we'll get a guy we like, but it's not to that level. So let's make sure we go up and get him, right? That was Dalton Kincaid. That's what they did. Like, they just said, hey, there is a drop-off here. Now, granted, LaPorta was drafted after. I totally get it. But in their mind, like, they needed to go up and get him and what they wanted. So I think that's what you're looking at there. I think corner would be more likely. If we're sitting here and it's 25-26, and all of a sudden the Bills pop up on the screen and they've traded up, my mind is going to go more to corner than DT. I'm not saying they couldn't do it for a defensive tackle. My mind's going to go to corner or edge. I think those are more – those are more of the types of positions you do that for, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I definitely hear you. And it really depends to me, like I already said about Grant. Like, if I'm right, or all the analysis that I've read and seen on him is right, like if they view him as comparable to a lot of other guys and don't think he can take that step, then yeah, I wouldn't want to make the move. And I would agree. I think corner, like we've said all along, and this is very reminiscent of 22, is still the spot, right, where you're looking at and going, okay, I know they just signed Trey White and they signed Dane Jackson, but like, really, who's my starter opposite Christian Benford? I think you, in an ideal scenario, you're hoping it's neither one of the guys I just mentioned. Nothing against either guy, but I think you want to get better than that there. And at D tackle, at least you still have Daquan Jones. Like, you're going to need to backfill there. But they've mostly, I've heard Sneaky Joe make this point a lot. I think he made it last Thursday, maybe around this time. The way they've treated the defensive tackle position beyond Daquan Jones is journeyman fill-ins, basically, right? That's Jordan Phillips and Austin Johnson and Quentin Jefferson, guys like that, that are just sort of filling in. And so maybe them drafting a guy to play that role high would be quite a departure for them. So if their previous history tells you anything, maybe that's not a trade-up position that they'd be interested in, and maybe just let that whoever that guy's going to be come to them on Friday or Saturday.
I like that thought process. I agree with that, you know, because I'm the one that says, look how they've done. 8 years, you have a body of work here with these guys. Seven drafts between Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. That's what the Malachi Starks thing before, the safety. It's
you know how they operate,
right? Wide receiver. We know kind of how they think about a lot of these things, and I agree with that. Defensive tackle is important. It's not a premium NFL position by most accounts, right? Unless you get a superstar stud, you can do that. But corner is, and an edge rusher is. You know, something that stuck with me the other day when Brandon Bean was talking, he was asked about Dane Jackson, and he said something like, I think Dane's looking forward to the opportunity for competing for that starting job. And I thought to myself, okay, well, if Brandon Bean's talking like that, who's he competing with? He's going to compete with Tre'Davious White most likely right now. Is he going to compete with a rookie? Probably. I get it. But that kind of led me to, I don't think that we're talking about drafting their immediate starter on Thursday night. Now, I could definitely be reading way too much in the weeds to that, but that's what it got me to when he said that.
All right. Some action at the top, maybe. We might have talked about this earlier, but Jacksonville seems like it's kind of fooling around.
Yeah, the other piece of the McShay report that had the Giants interested in Dart and looking to move into the back end of first round was that the Bears are very active trying to move up, he thinks, for Genty. Or what he's hearing is for Genty.
Well, that makes sense to me because, I mean, look who the Bears head coach is now, right? I mean, Ben Johnson. You think about what he did in Detroit and what he might want to replicate a little bit in Chicago, and he already has Caleb Williams, and he already has a couple of receivers there. They do need a tight end, obviously, but I think Genty makes a lot of sense to the Chicago Bears. But that's why I also have them drafting Omarion Hampton with the 10th pick. It might be a little high for him, I get it, but I think they're looking for a guy like that. They really are. But it would make sense if they're trying to get up pretty higher to get Genty, because he could definitely be a difference maker. Jacksonville's the pivot spot. There's no doubt about that. I think whatever they do kind of makes a lot of things, you know, fall into place for a lot of other teams. So those are a couple teams that I'll be watching. When you say action at the top, yeah, I think that's probably the first piece of action. I think to me the first four look like they're pretty already set. That is going to be Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, Abdul Carter, and I think now we're to the point of Will Johnson, right?
Will Campbell.
Will Campbell, sorry. I'm getting him confused with the other tackle, but Will Campbell to the Patriots. I think it's always been that way, but I think even more so over the last 12 hours or so, you hear about reports of them really doing, you know, a lot of work on him and meeting with him and things like that.
Yeah, the odds have been decidedly that way as mm-hmm. we get close to the start of the draft. The Bears have that Carolina second that could price them in mm-hmm. on a trade like that from 10 to 5. Credit,
that's right.
Credit to Jacksonville for stirring it up. I mean, you never know, but more and more mock drafts were putting the Raiders on offensive line and not on Genty. So you would get a fall to 10. I do think there's a lot of, you know, excitement about him, but Jacksonville maybe did a job here. If that trade happens, kind of the whole thing about getting people to think you're going to do something that would be a problem for them. So maybe a good job there.
We know how this started, too, was they had always been linked to Mason Graham. And then really what happened was Adam Schefter had a story last week on his notes, and in his notes he said, in the words of Lee Corso, not so fast, my friend. I'm hearing Mason Graham is probably not going to be the pick and they're going to go offense. And then all of a sudden, all this other stuff started with them. And it looks like that's the case. It's not going to be Mason Graham, which, by the way, where does Mason Graham go now? I got him 8th because of this. Like, I'm taking the bait, guys. Right? I'm taking the bait here on Jacksonville. And I'm thinking, last night I sat there doing my mock, and Jacksonville was tough. Carolina was really tough for me. I could go linebacker there. I can go edge. And I wound up giving them Mason Graham, I believe, is what I did if I look back. But I think that's a really interesting guy here now.
For sure. Is this right? They say about him, like, a lot of things to like, but not a great enough athlete to be, like, undeniable as a top 10 pick? Do I have that right for Mason Graham? Somehow, could that make sense?
I've heard some of that.
Could yes. that make sense? Mm-hmm. Maybe yes. he's, like, technically perfect. I don't know.
The other thing you hear about him is, and this goes both ways now, how much did Mason Graham make Kenneth Grant? How much did Kenneth Grant make Mason Graham? I think you have to really sort through that.
Somebody will.
I'll get right on it.
We will do that. Sal, what's your, like, what's your workload tonight? Are you on the air all the time or just when the pick or what?
I'll have my mic next to me we do things. Technology is amazing. I always tell people I do a radio show. I do my radio show from my phone these days, right? Because we have this technology that you guys know that you can do that with. So if something were to happen, I can literally jump right on with the guys back at the station and we can do that. Otherwise, I'll just have it sitting there. And if my phone goes off and somebody texts me and says, can you jump on with us for a little while? Then I'll do that. Otherwise, so I get here, you know what? So I was the TV guy today, and that happens sometimes down here. I got here, and there's two big TVs, one in each corner of the media room for the media to see, on to the left and right of where the podium is, basically. And I'm like, all right, these were not on. So we scrambled. I found that there was a bunch of remotes. A couple didn't work. I finally found the right remotes. I put on one TV on ESPN, turned down the sound. I put the other one on TBS for the hockey game. So I'll be watching those things while we're also paying attention to what's going on, you know, around us.
That's right. 6:30 for Florida and Tampa on TBS. That's right. I got to get there because we're, all right.
11:30. These 11:30 picks, not great for the local TV scene. Like, that's just right at the worst time where you don't know exactly what to do. The news is ending, and that's kind of what's happened, right, when the Bills have picked the last few years toward the end. It looks like it's usually after 11 o'clock.
It's a scramble drill. Like, you guys know how, like, you go to training camp and the Bills, they go, all right, we're going to go through like end of game situation. Everybody's got to run on the field for a final field goal. That's what happens when the Bills pick here. Like, as soon as the Bills pick, it is like everybody starts running to their spots to do their TV hits and radio hits, and it's insanity down here.
Look forward to
it. Well, enjoy it, Sal.
Yep. Thanks, Sal.
All right, guys. All right. You got it.
They will feed you well, I'm sure of that, so you don't have to worry about that. That's Sal Capaccio for a second time today on our Wester Hotline live from the stadium as we get you ready for round one of the draft. Sal's appearance brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
I see Milrow to go in round one, plus 270. Not terrible.
No.
Davis Maddock has talked himself into Milrow. He's the first guy.
Way to go, Davis.
He's the first guy I referenced probably when the bet was made as somebody that, like, he said something like Anthony Richardson, but way worse.
Yeah, right, right.
And now he's down. And he wrote recently how, like you've said it, the player has what you can't teach.
Right.
You want to be able to teach. You can teach what he needs.
If people out there have not read up or heard Davis or me talking about him, he is being compared favorably as a runner to Lamar Jackson. Like, you know what Lamar Jackson looks like on an NFL field, right? Are there still people out there going, oh, he's just going to get hurt? I mean, that's electric. That is a jolt of energy to your entire team. Yes, he is going to need work as a passer. There is no argument, but he has the tools. Like, he's got the size, he's got athleticism. It's mechanical mostly, I think. I don't even think I hear that much complaining about his decision making. It's just accuracy. But the arm is massive. He can make every throw. He just doesn't make them all consistently because he's kind of whack on his mechanics. Man, I would want to trust that I can work on that stuff and give me an elite. I don't think any other quarterback in this draft class has an elite trait. Like, Ward is the most fully formed, you know, package. But I don't think there's anything elite in there. Maybe he's an elite processor, and I'm leaving that out. I don't know. But it's all good. It's good enough to go number one overall. But Milrow has that. And I know running should not be the best thing your quarterback does. But, man, it's a hell of a place to start, I think, if he has the potential to figure out the passing.
We will look for your calls again after the break, 803-0550, round one of the NFL draft coming up in about an hour and a half. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
Different teams have different valuations on them. More teams than not that I speak to tell me that they have a second round grade on Shedeur Sanders. Why? Well, he has an average, relatively, arm. He has average, relatively, athleticism. You're talking about getting drafted in the first or second day of the NFL draft. You are an incredible athlete. You compare it to your dad, or you compare it to other fantastic quarterbacks in this draft, it's average.
Jonathan Jones on Shedeur Sanders.
It's like the opposite of the Milrow speech I just gave, right? It's just like, it's not really that great at anything, but, you know, we need a quarterback, so he's got his famous dad. Let's try it. That doesn't sound like a great plan to me.
I think everybody is excited right now for one of two reasons, or maybe both. One being that the draft is almost here. All the excitement, emotion, the drama. And then also, thank God, enough with the draft talk is about to arrive. Enough.
That's all right. The Bills
we got
trade,
tomorrow.
The Bills trade out of 30, then we're going to have to do all this again tomorrow, which will be super fun.
We still will.
I mean, right? We will.
I don't think we're going to the Leaf series.
No, probably not.
Tomorrow.
No.
Thanks for this tweet earlier. We are all cooked on the draft, but you guys have made it fun. So appreciate that.
Yeah, definitely appreciate that.
What's left?
Well, I made a list quickly during the break. How many names have I got here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay, I've got 5 names that I would consider the Bills feeling like. There's been some chatter here today about them moving up from 30 to 21. And you reminded me even, like, we heard something about Pittsburgh yesterday even. But you and I, there's been chatter about Minnesota, but just anecdotally, we arrived at, like, they've got only four picks. You know, 30 to 24 is not super expensive. The right guy falls, right? So extend that three more picks up to Pittsburgh. So who are guys that I this is just me, right? This is not anybody's rankings, although, I mean, I'm basing it off of rankings that I've been looking at for months. But guys that I could see the Bills wanting to spend whatever it would cost, not to say whatever it would cost flippantly, but, like, pay the price to move up. I think Grant would be on that list. I think Harmon, the big defensive tackle from Oregon, would qualify as well. I see him usually picked before Grant.
Me too.
So I think it's unlikely, but who knows? Injury concern, something, right? I would put Will Johnson, the Michigan corner, on that list with an asterisk because of there's an injury concern, and I don't know that the Bills have really ever embraced that, but maybe they've checked him out and they love him, and if he starts falling, they could move on him. I'm putting Golden on here just because I like that idea, and I think there's still, like, you know, a single digit percent chance they draft a receiver that they go into this thing thinking they want what many of us have wanted for years, which is more for the wide receiver train. So I'll put Golden on that list, and I'm putting James Pierce on this list.
Okay.
Even though that's another area the Bills, like, red, any kind of red flags character. And I have not gone deep on those, what those concerns are with Pierce, but I did hear Chris Trapasso on with Brownie and Tasker this afternoon, and he said, and maybe Mike Green from Marshall has some of the same thing. It's just there was a lot of camaraderie with him and his teammates. He's on the bench. He's kind of on an island. He's, you know, whether that's because he thinks he's better than everyone else, and I don't know, but that there's a reputation there that he's not a team guy. I don't know if there's more than that, and if there is, if there's legal stuff, and I don't know about it, I apologize, okay? But I've thought for a while, and I know Tyler Dunn, I don't know if we've ever, I haven't been here, I don't think, when we've talked to Tyler Dunn about this, but you might have done it while I was in Puerto Rico, that the Bills could use, Tyler's written this, like, all right with the character, all right with the Bills' DNA, you've got a strong build here, you've got a house, all right, and it is airtight, it is sound. The windows don't need to be replaced. Sorry, Window Nation. Like, we're all good here. And you should be able to bring someone in and get them to sort of buy your program. So I want to include Pierce there because he's Chris Trapasso's top player in the whole draft, I think. So anyway, those are trade up guys. If they stay at 30, obviously any of the names I just said, I think it's unlikely that they'd be there. But if they are, then those names are included. But
Pierce isn't that unlikely.
You think at 30?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's possible.
Yeah.
That he's gone, but a lot of mock drafts leave him out.
Okay. If they stay at 30, Amos is my favorite. I think the most likely outcome. I think there's a lot to like about him, and I think, you know, I've seen quite a few Trey White comparisons. You know, it's, you know, same conference, play style, body style, even. So I think Amos, if they stay at 30 and he's available, I could see them just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Hairston from Kentucky as well. Is that the school, right? Okay. Those are two corners. Ezeraku from Boston College, edge guy, I could see at 30. Michael Williams, if he were to fall that far. And I'm going to put Starks and then sales guy Tyleek Williams, who he mocked to the Bills from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Big defensive tackle. That's my though. I think trade up. You've got those five names. I think those are five names I could see the Bills trading up for if they stay put. I think Amos is my most likely outcome if they stay put.
Very good work. I did not do any of that. I should have been doing that. You didn't tell me you were doing that. We split the check and you didn't tell me what tip you left.
I took it upon myself to, you know, I did during a commercial break.
I won't argue with any of it. I think I'm prepared for Grant, if that happens, to not really like it. The corner thing is, no pun intended, the corner thing is more pressing. Like, that's where they have I think a bigger problem. And part of that is just because of the importance, the relative importance of the two positions. I think you can get by. They have. Without that stud, you know, at defensive tackle. And corner gets you beat. Elam in the playoffs. I mean, it gets you beat. So I feel like that's more likely.
Mm-hmm.
And what we don't know, as we've said many times, is how the Bills would rank these cornerbacks. There might be one or two of them that we talk about a lot that they would never draft. Like, they just don't like something about them. We wouldn't know that. And the injury point with Johnson, he's one of those guys
right.
that would be on most lists, lists like this.
It would blow my mind. Well, one player I did not mention there because of the injury thing is Revell, the East Carolina corner. His story, do you know anything about his story? Like, he was like junior college, working at Amazon. I mean, he is, I read a story like that and I go like, oh my God, McDermott is going to like, he's going to want to date this person. Like, he's just going to love this person so much. But there is an injury towards ACL in September.
That should be, it should be not a problem for
right, you would
the
think.
Season. But.
And furthermore, though, like at 30, like, do you feel you have to buy the guy that is coming off of that? At 30, like, is he that good? Or can you, will teams be scared off of that and you can play it right here? Maybe wait on corner, right? Do this defensive tackle idea and really hope. You're going to have to hope. You have to hope all overnight and into tomorrow night that Revell falls to you at 56. Or that you move a few spaces up the board on Friday to try to get him. Because I think he's another one of these guys. Like, if he were healthy, I think he's a first-round pick without any question. But I think his character, like his story, is a Bills. I mean, the Bills love those kinds of guys. Like that there wouldn't be a question about. I don't think the guy really wanting it, right? So they'd have to hope and they'd have to trust anyway, as best you can, that you can get him on the way back. But that's a guy that if they don't get a corner tonight, I could see them like lighting candles, hoping that guy lasts until 56 for them.
That's a big hope. I mean,
yeah, it certainly is.
They pick so late
yep.
in every round, but tomorrow, yeah, they might need to be active. Well, you know, you can help yourself by moving out of that spot tonight and making tomorrow a little easier if they're able to do that. If there's a Giants trade or mm-hmm. Pittsburgh or someone else the Pittsburgh rumor is the Bills trading up. The Giants rumor is the Giants trading up with the Bills. You'd think the Giants and the Bills would have the same methodology when it comes to the draft, right? I mean,
Joe Shane,
working together.
Right, sure, yeah.
They're using the same draft chart, probably.
And, yeah, and you would also think that these are two people that have talked, like if Todd McShay's right, and really you've been saying this for months, if the Giants want to do that and have been, you know, trying to set it up, get an idea of what, you know, who wants to work with you, then he and Bean have definitely, the Giants and the Bills have absolutely talked. I mean, it would blow my mind if they haven't.
Mm-hmm. Here's Denny next. Hello.
Hey, guys. Happy draft day. I have a question first. What do you think James Cook's value is, and do you think that Chicago would be interested if they missed out on Jenty?
Not for that pick. Way, no, it's whatever his value is way less.
Yeah. What do you think? Like a second?
No. I've been saying for a while, if somebody wants to give me a third, I would do it. And then I would draft his replacement. But I don't think you're getting more than that. And third might even be rich. Because guy wanting that contract always dings the return. Always. Usually dings the return. And I don't want to talk in absolutes because anything could happen. But I just don't. I think you'd do great to get a third.
Yeah, me too. Thanks, Denny. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. More after this on WGR. I think your prediction, Trey Amos, is pretty good if they stay at 30. The value's good enough in terms of what I think the consensus is mm-hmm. for all these guys. The value is good enough. The need is there. We'll see if he's good. I think, you know, that works.
It's not overpicking. Like, it, you know, he's around there, you know. Like, I would like that pick, I guess.
If Dart and or Milroe or even Sanders are on the board at that point, that'll be the discussion, is whether there'll be a trade. I think there certainly could be, and I wouldn't mind it. I'd even like it. I don't think I want to expect it, even in that scenario, because they traded out of the first round last year, and I don't think you want to just do that, not every time, but back-to-back.
Two times in a row, right, yeah.
It didn't go well overall, at least in year one, and I don't know, like I'd be sensitive to that if I were Brandon Bean. So could see it. I wouldn't mind it at all, but I'm not really assuming it's going to happen at all either. I do think the quarterbacks are a great story tonight. It's different than when you've got 1-2-3 like last year, and what, 1-2-4 the year before. We don't have that at all. I hope there are a lot of trades. I always hope for that. I think this is not a list, but it's sort of becoming a list. Veteran running backs. If I don't think I want to expect this, Jacksonville and Genty, but the ETN's on another team if that happens next year. Maybe DeAndre Swift is on another team, but he's already been on three. He's got a pretty good contract, too, with Chicago. They're the favorite. They've been the favorite to pick Genty. Breece Hall. Mm-hmm. There seems to be speculation about his being traded from the Jets. Why? I don't exactly know why.
New regime, and maybe they don't like something about how he goes about his business. I don't know.
They do have two other running backs that they've used, Isaiah Davis and Braylon Allen, but it wasn't like either guy was as good as Breece Hall.
Right.
He's the same year as Cook, so that would be another one where you'd maybe just want to get out of a second contract.
Right.
He's better than Cook.
And he wasn't a first.
Early contract. Second.
Okay, so he's the same. Yeah, he's on the same timeline.
Same
contract. Yeah.
Same timeline, same round.
Right.
But well earlier, like 20-some picks earlier. Maybe the Seattle guy gets moved. There's been that to talk about. Running backs, there's been that to talk about. Running backs are my favorite thing about tonight and tomorrow, especially tomorrow, depending on how tonight goes, whether Hampton or Henderson get picked or some other long shot. No one else is almost ever mocked in the first round at that position. But those two guys, Hampton usually is,
right,
and Henderson sometimes is.
Do you remember if Jahmyr Gibbs was mocked in the first round ever?
Oof,
when
no.
He went 12, right? I mean, because that was – I mean, that's – 3 years ago now, right? That's the same draft as Bijan Robinson. There, I said his name again. Gibbs came out of nowhere. Like, I don't know. Is there a running back that could do that this year? I mean, I don't know. Probably not if you've already got two or three that could go to begin with. It's kind of hard for me to imagine there'd be a surprise fourth.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know who that would be. Lots of variance in opinion on the running back list once you get past even two, but definitely three. So just about an hour away, and we'll be back tomorrow to talk about how we think they did, and hope you're along with us. Enjoy the night. It's a great night. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Stay tuned for more draft coverage throughout the night on WGR.